The WBEN All Local.
All Local.
A daily look at what's happening in Buffalo, Western New York, and the world.
I'm Susan Rose.
I'm Brian Masarowski.
An arrest has been made in the murder of a store clerk on Grant Street yesterday. Buffalo police said 28-year-old Salah Muhammad has been arrested and charged with second-degree murder.
He allegedly shot a male victim in the chest around 2:30 yesterday afternoon on Grant near Military. The same suspect, believed to be connected to a triple homicide in Cheektowaga that happened just an hour later. WBEN's Jim Fink has more.
The quiet of a warm summer afternoon was shattered on both Grant Street in Buffalo and later in Cheektowaga as four people were murdered in a crime spree that may end up being connected. Murdered was a Grant Street store clerk who was shot once in the chest during what may have been an attempted robbery. As Buffalo police arrived at the scene on Grant Street's 1000 block around 2:30 p.m., the clerk succumbed to his injuries. And at approximately 3:30 p.m., 1 hour later, a woman and her twin 2-year-old children were found murdered in a duplex at 43 Ellen Street. Though the investigation continues. The murder shattered what is a quiet suburban residential street in Cheektowaga, says longtime resident, quote, Martin.
Yeah, I've lived here for 11 years and never had anything like this happen in the neighborhood. It's a pretty quiet neighborhood.
Karen, who was visiting her daughter and granddaughter on Ellen Drive, said she was shaken by what happened.
It was like the SWAT team was coming in. It was pretty scary. Yeah, it was pretty scary.
More information is expected to be released later today, police sources say. This is Jim Fink for WBEN.com News.
Jim, thank you. Buffalo police officer Mark Hurst, injured in a shooting on Sherman Street a week ago today, was released from ECMC yesterday. The 9-year veteran with C District was shot 6 times while responding to a domestic call. Buffalo Police Union President John Davidson.
His spirits were up. He was very thankful. Thank God multiple times. Thank Buffalo for the support. The community's been wonderful. He left walking on his own 2 feet, smiling ear to ear.
The suspect in the case, 33-year-old Minhaj Siddiqui, still hospitalized. He's been charged with first-degree attempted murder.
Well, the negotiations between the U.S. and Iran still remain unclear. The president says talks still ongoing. Tehran says they're cutting any ties with U.S. negotiators.
President Trump posting on Truth Social, I had a conversation with Bibi Netanyahu today, asking him not to go into a major raid of Beirut, Lebanon. He turned his troops around. Thank you, Bibi. I also had a conversation with representatives of the leaders of Hezbollah, and they agreed to stop shooting at Israel and its soldiers. Likewise, Israel agreed to stop shooting at them. Let's see how long that lasts. Hopefully, it will be for eternity. Iranian-backed Hezbollah has been firing rockets into northern Israel, and Israeli forces have gone after them into southern Lebanon. While President Trump touts an end to the fighting after his call, there have since been reports of additional Hezbollah rocket attacks.
That's Max Gordon reporting from Tel Aviv.
There's new information about health screenings at airports ahead of the World Cup, which gets underway in about a week.
The games are expected to draw up to 7 million visitors to the U.S., raising concern about the possible spread of Ebola from Africa. Confirmed cases in the DR Congo have jumped more than 20% in a single day. But one aid group warns the outbreak may be much larger, pointing to delays in detection and limited contact tracing. Americans returning from the DRC, Uganda, and South Sudan must now re-enter the U.S. through 4 designated airports for mandatory screenings.
That's Hannah Bata reporting.
Well, there's some new feedback on cell phone bans in schools in New York.
Good morning, everyone.
Governor Kathy Hochul spoke with students and educators at Schuyler Middle School in Bushwick to reflect on the bell-to-bell cell phone ban that went into effect last September. According to one survey of more than 600 teachers and administrators, it's working.
80% reported that the students are behaving better.
New York is the largest state with a bell-to-bell cell phone ban. In New York City, schools can administer that rule as they see fit.
It's Lauren Glassberg reporting, the governor talking about this almost at the end of the school year.
The America 250 celebration has people in the fireworks industry ready for one of their biggest summers ever. WBEN's Tom Puckett is here with more.
There has been a tremendous uptick in demand.
Bruce Zoldan at Phantom Fireworks says with America's 250th birthday coming up, people are taking two approaches to holiday weekend fireworks.
People are planning for big parties, neighborhood parties, family parties. And from what we're hearing from our customers is they're picking one day in the weekend, either the Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, to go to a public display, and they're having another day where they're planning their neighborhood or family backyard picnic.
Zoldan says sales have gone up at least 25% since March. As for public displays,
probably double the amount of fireworks will be shot this year than previous years.
Matt Shaw with Skyletters of Western New York says there's been a challenge this year in getting the fireworks.
We have great working relationships with several manufacturers, and we're a pretty large importer, so we have some great relationships over there. So challenging with shipping, and there's always some kind of logistics that you have to figure out, but we have all our inventory on hand and we're ready for an extremely busy season.
But Zoldan says there could be a shortage of fireworks next year. Find out why online. Tom Puckett, WBEN.com News.
Okay, Tom, I would imagine it's because we blew them all off this year, right?
Yes. There were a lot of fireworks just for the Sabres playoff run.
Yeah, so whether it's a fireworks store, I'm picturing those big tents that pop up.
They should be up soon.
They should be up soon, but like all these places are going to want to, you know, get loaded up because people are going to be wanting to celebrate.
Right. And
250
more than,
years.
More than normal, I think.
I think the fireworks shows are hopefully going to be bigger than ever. But,
I would expect.
You know, you were bringing up how many are there going to be? Is there one in the city of Buffalo this year?
I don't know because it's not happening at the Bisons at Salem Field.
Will not be a Bison show this year. Is there anyone else maybe stepping up?
It's been a while now since they had waterfront fireworks.
We'll see if that changes for this year.
And tonight, we might start to see who will be the next team to see their name etched on the Stanley Cup.
The 2026 Stanley Cup Final gets underway tonight as the Carolina Hurricanes host the Vegas Golden Knights at the Lenovo Center in Raleigh, North Carolina. The Hurricanes are back in the final for the first time since 2006 when they won their only championship. Rod Brind'Amour was the captain for that team, and now as coach, he's led the Canes this postseason to a 12-1 record. Meanwhile, for the Golden Knights, this is their third final appearance in their nine-year history, having won it back in 2023. They have won six straight playoff games, including a sweep of the President's Trophy winners, the Colorado Avalanche, in the Western Conference Final. Puck drop is at 8 p.m. Eastern. Tony Genualdo, Fox News.
Who do you want?
I don't know. On one hand, I want to lean Carolina. I'm not as upset, you know, 20 years ago, everyone still kind of holds that grudge. They hate the Hurricanes. I've never been one of those people. They beat us, you know. It happens. It wasn't like, you know, one of these crazy series. You know, we got unlucky, sure, but oh well.
That was a long time ago.
I didn't hold a grudge against the Hurricanes. I do hold a grudge against Jack Eichel. But would that be outweighed by Mitch Marner winning the Stanley Cup his first year away from Toronto and being able to point the finger and laugh at them again, which would be fun?
Yeah. You love that.
I do love that, and it would be even sweeter because I'm going to the draft. The draft is here in Buffalo. There's going to be a ton of Leafs fans there because they're picking first overall. To be able to, like, hey, you know, Mitch Marner, you must be happy winning the Cup.
You want to rub it in.
That would be kind of nice. So, I don't know. I'm up in the air. Yeah. I'm just hoping for some good hockey.
I'm just thinking it's two teams. I hate the jerseys for both of them. There's not even
ugly
one
matchup, for sure. You know, you think of, like, the Sabres, Sabres-Bruins, and then Sabres-Canadiens.
Yes.
Those two playoff matchups were, like, all-time classic. You know, it just looked right. The Carolina-Vegas, you know, gold versus the white and red. And
I don't like it.
Yeah.
Your exclusive WBEN 7 weather forecast. Mostly sunny today with highs in the mid-70s this afternoon. Tonight, mainly clear. Overnight lows near 50. On Wednesday, expect a good deal of sunshine. A little warmer with highs in the mid to upper 70s. With your exclusive WBEN 7 weather forecast, I'm Chief Meteorologist Aaron Minkowski.
Joining us in the Bison Automotive Live line, Ryan Whalen from the State Department of Transportation. As the warm weather's here, construction season has begun, and you're starting to see a lot more of those construction and work zone speed cameras. Ryan, thanks for being on with us this morning. These are relatively new. How many of these speed cameras are in place right now across Western New York? Should people expect to see them in all work zones, some? What does the picture look like?
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me on the show today. Yeah, people should expect to see these automated work zone speed enforcement cameras throughout the region, throughout the state. Like I said, this is a pilot program that started, I believe, about 3 years ago. And it was extended for an additional 5 years. There was a bill in the budget this year, I believe, to extend it further as far as the amount of cameras. There's currently 20 across the state. The bill would have made it 40 across the state and expand the amount of roads that it could be used on. I haven't thoroughly gone through the budget yet, so I'm not positive if it passed yet, but I know that it was a part of it, so I think there's a good chance we could expect to see it expand even more. But these are tools that we deploy strategically and sporadically in active work zones. Active means work zones where we have workers there. And it's one of the tools that we use to try to get people to slow down because, as I'll repeat over and over again, safety is the number one priority at the State Department of Transportation. And that goes for all of the drivers on our roads, all the pedestrians, but also very importantly, the people that come to work for us that we need to ensure get home safe at the end of the day.
Ryan, when the cameras are in effect, does it have to be posted that they're in effect, or is it just when the construction site is active?
It is posted. It does have to be posted. So you'll see a sign that says speed cameras are in effect. On top of the multiple reminders you'll get that you're coming into a work zone and it with traffic signs that say you're entering a work zone with the yards and yards of orange cones. So we do a lot to try to let drivers know that you're coming up to a work zone. And, you know, the thing that a lot of people that keeps people from seeing these work zones, I think, is that a lot of people are on their cell phones these days. And that's one of the pushes that we're trying to get is to put that on the phone and really pay attention and stay alert because that's how you see that this is coming up and how you follow those other laws, like slow down and move over.
So you mentioned these are only in active work zones, so we should not expect these cameras to be in use unless there's people actually working in the zone. Is that right?
That's correct. Yep. Unless we have people out there and working on the road, the cameras are not activated.
But what happens if you do go through a camera? Say you're going 3 over the speed limit. Should you expect a ticket in the mail? Is there a grace, buffer zone, or, you know, when does the ticket set in? Because, you know, it's obviously different than a police officer who gets to use his judgment, his or her judgment, when pulling somebody over for speeding. A camera, it's pretty cut and dry.
Yeah, I've seen people say, you know, if I'm going a mile over the speed limit, I'm going to get a notice of liability in the mail. That's just not true. I believe that the cameras have allow you to go up to 10 miles an hour over the speed limit without getting one of those notice of liabilities. If I were a driver, I wouldn't test that. I would try to go as close to the speed limit as I could because, as we know, you can easily go up a mile or two or slower a mile or two, and that's why that kind of grace period as you described it is in there. But no, if the work zone is 45 miles an hour and you're going 46, you will not expect to see a notice of liability in the mail.
Are these cameras just going after speeders, or are they also catching other violations like cell phone use or something else?
Yeah, the automated work zone speed enforcement cameras are specifically for speeders. So, and unfortunately, we're still seeing a lot of those violations, even though that's the only thing that those are targeting. You know, I know you reported a few weeks back that we saw more than 2,500 notice of liability sent out for just 3 deployments over the course of about a week on the I-290. And that was very concerning to us, especially the volume and also the extreme speeds we saw. There was one clocked at over 100 miles an hour, 2 more clocked at 90 and 91 miles an hour. So you know, there was two levels of concern when we saw that. We have other tools that are deployed to work on those other things. One of them is Operation Hard Hat, one that we actually deployed last week on the 219, where we saw, I believe, 63 tickets issued over the course of about 3 hours. And that's where we have a trooper embedded dressed as a highway worker in our work zone set, is observing all sorts of violations and then radioing up to patrol cars ahead. And that's the thing. We're taking this from all angles. The work zone speed cameras are for speed specifically, but we have a lot of tools to try to make sure that we're protecting our workers out there.
When you get one of these tickets in the mail, what happens next? Do you have the opportunity to appeal the ticket? Is it a straight fine that you're expected to pay right away? What are the next steps?
Yeah, so one of the things I would say is that the penalties that go along with the automated work zone speed enforcement program are really pretty minimal compared to what might happen if you were caught doing the same thing by a trooper in a work zone, where you could face double fines on top of points on your license, things like that. That doesn't go with this program. So this will not affect your driver's license at all if you get a notice of liability. I believe that it is $50 for the first fine, $75 for the second within 18 months, and $100 for the third within 18 months. And hopefully, before you get that third one, the message will have hit home. They're relatively minimal. You can push back against it. You can reject it and send that notice back in the mail saying you don't believe that you're speeding if you don't. So you do have the opportunity to fight that, or you can pay the fine when you get it, the notice of liability in the mail. And that comes with the speed that the camera clocked you at, as well as a picture of the car.
All right. Good information. But again, to clarify, if there's no workers there and the site's not active, that work zone speed limit is not in effect.
That is absolutely correct, Susan. I can't say it enough. I see a lot of people that say that this is a money grab by the state. And, it kind of is disheartening to me to see that, because the bottom line is what we're trying to do is to get people to think about our workers that are in these work zones. Like I said, the penalties are relatively minimal. This is supposed to be a wake-up call. All of the money that is collected goes directly toward programs for work zone safety. So this isn't going into the general fund of the state budget. And if we didn't have anybody speeding through work zones and we didn't have to collect any of those fines, we would be happy, because that means that the program worked and the message got across. So this isn't about money. This is about safety, plain and simple.
Well, Ryan, thank you. Ryan Whalen with the State Department of Transportation joining us live on WBEN.
That's the WBEN All Local. All new episodes are made available each weekday morning, produced by the award-winning WBEN Newsroom.